Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we have so much that is good in our life, and we give you thanks that there is so much good. And now, in the spring of this year, we see the earth springing up back to a new life, sort of. And so we give you thanks for the energy that we all have, each one of us. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Spirit which lives in us. So guide and direct us to do your will as we live. And we thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Indeed, we are now in the springtime. This season of the year is, it's spring, and a lot of people recognize the Easter and the Easter vacation, and some people believe we celebrate the renewal of life at Easter time, or that we celebrate our new life, our eternal life in Jesus Christ at this Easter celebration. And some people look at a fresh new flower blossom or a baby chick as a way of reflecting the newness in our born-again life. But I always say to beware that there are views that reflect a earth-worshipping context. And we, as Christians, we also have to consider that Easter is a celebration of eternal life in Jesus Christ. But there are warnings that we have in the Bible about taking a pagan celebration and calling it a celebration to our Lord God. See, for years, I have argued like this, but people just want to keep their traditional celebrations, and I see value in that too. After all, it is a time of getting together as a family and having a time, whatever that time is. Hopefully it's peaceful, and often it's around food. So I do see value in it. I just always am concerned that we do not take the elements of a pagan celebration and call it a celebration to our Lord God. Well, that's something we each have to examine our own understanding and our own hearts to determine. But I think it's very good to look into the Bible for the guidance and the clarity of this matter. Well, maybe you will get the idea as you read the Bible about what God likes and what God does not like. And I do feel cautious about, let me think. It's Hebrews 10:26 that talks about, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Well, I don't know that this really applies, but it is a direction of thought that makes me cautious and careful when I consider, is Easter a pagan holiday that I am turning into a celebration for my God? Well, it's a big question, isn't it? Because we all have the culture that we belong to. We live in this society, and there are things that go on, and we have to search for what is right and truth, and what is right in our own eyes as we examine Scripture. Well, we do believe what God says, right? Of course we do. And this is a question of how we follow any celebration at any time of the year. I know the one in the Bible for this time of the year is Passover. And Passover celebrates how when the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt, they had an exodus. And a part of that process was there was a death angel that came and killed the firstborn. Unless there was the blood of the lamb put on their doorposts and lintel. You know, that's all around the door. So it's a theme, it's a question, and well, we know what the Bible story is about the death angel in Egypt. It was a big, terrible event. And we get an idea of what the heart of God is towards the conditions in Egypt that his people were enslaved there. So I really can only say each one of us needs to examine our own heart and our own mind and make sure that we are giving the great attention to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It is God through Jesus Christ that we want to honor and obey. I certainly am aware that there are many different views on how we would celebrate a specific holiday, whether that holiday is Easter or another one. Christmas is a very questionable one also because of its pagan connections. So some pastors will certainly tell you that Easter is just fine to celebrate. I really can't go into that discussion because it's rather a long one if we decide to. But I think it is important to follow what God tells us to do. And for that, I just suggest you read the Bible and understand what it is that God is telling you in His Word, the Bible. Now, we do belong to Jesus, and we do belong to God's eternal kingdom. So let's just remember that we want to act appropriately with our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what it is. It is the relation with Jesus Christ that we base our salvation on. And we have a lot of things that are going on in the world. Yes, a thing as simple as an Easter celebration or a Passover celebration. And that is really what I would want to celebrate, is the Passover celebration. They are both at about the same time of the year, and they are not on a particular day because they both are determined by where the moon is and the cycles of the moon. So we have this, well, question about how we live and how we worship God. And I don't mean that I quite have an answer to all of it either, because I can see both sides of it. I just know we want to be careful to honor God and Jesus in all we do. I think of the people who have good hearts. And, this was an interesting one. It was a text that talked about this group that wanted to end poverty and end the debt and end hunger, and so that the globe would only have peace and prosperity, and that the whole earth would evolve with new technologies to create free energy and free transportation. And I thought of how interesting it was that there was this utopian movement to really just have a dream and a desire and seek to follow it. Well, I mean, that is what quite a few people do. In fact, that's what we as Christians do. But our dream and our utopia is in the heavenly kingdom of God. We call that heaven, and that is when we are in eternal relationship with God Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful. But there are people who want to create, call it heaven on earth, and they have the ideas of free this and free that. After all, we are such a prosperous country and such a prosperous world that there is plenty and enough to go around to all people, and that there will be. Oh, the other part of this movement is that there will be a consciousness to bring health and healing to our bodies. And that shift in consciousness will also bring joy to all the people of the world. How interesting that this is something that people are trying to bring about. Well, no, I don't blame anybody for wanting it. It's just that what about the reality of the world? The world has conflict. The world has sin. The world has things that really hurt. So can we on our own overcome these things? Or do we need God Jesus to create a new heaven and a new earth? Well, it is certainly something that we may have to deal with at some point, and deal with in a physical or a spiritual way, first spiritual, but also physical. And there are the people who want to see a wonderful world, as do I, but they see their efforts as bringing it about, that they will make the evildoers on earth, they call it, the evil cabal, which is now in control, they say that their consciousness will overpower them, and then the evil cabal will flee. How interesting. See, it is another vision of what heaven is, and or let's say what right and wrong is, and they are seeking to bring it about. Well, it seems to me like only God can bring this about, and he already has a plan, and we want to submit to it because we are God's people, and we want to participate in God's kingdom. We have a reality that is Bible-based. When some other idea, like ending poverty and having peace, it is a good fantasy, but when you look at what it would take to get it done, it's a strong show of force and power by a united body, a world body, and that is something that the Antichrist very well may promote. And we have a situation in front of us where we get to seek out the most true truth, which through experience I have found to be God, and I believe you have also found that to be God. And God shows himself through the Bible and by the grace of Jesus Christ. So that is where our attention goes. Our loyalty goes to Jesus. Our attention, our worship, our faithfulness goes to Jesus. I know that one of the things I am thankful for is for all the years of study that I did before I became a Christian. I studied the Bible, I studied Christian writings, and I found out that they were certainly as true as anything that I had studied in the worldly sense. And thus, I became a Christian, and I know that we are in the midst of many people who are Christians and many scholarly people who understand things to be one way or another. I believe it's important to listen to the pastors and the laymen who have a good Christian and biblical knowledge. But certainly we can talk about things and seek understanding, even from those very smart people. And perhaps Easter is one of those things. Perhaps Passover is one of those things where we can seek the truth. And perhaps we agree, perhaps we disagree, as we seek to be the most faithful that we can be to our Lord God Jesus. That is the simple way that I see it. And certainly we do have questions as we read the Bible. And we seek the answers first from the Bible. And there are plenty of times when a pastor or a Christian scholar can help us with many issues. I have been helped so many times by people who have such a good understanding, knowledge of Bible and Christian tradition. It's a very good thing to seek out people who know more than I do. And that's something that we want to keep in mind as we seek our goals. And our goals, can we say that they are to love God and worship Him? Yes, of course. And that's a part of what I see Passover is about. When we love God, we give Him thanks for what He did. Or we give thanks that He spoke to His Hebrew people, and Moses obeyed Him and protected the people, His people in Egypt. And Moses warned Pharaoh about the plagues to come in ancient Egypt. And Pharaoh wanted to believe that he was the powerful one, and so that's what Pharaoh believed and followed his own advice, which was to harm the people of God. Very interesting, the patterns that we see in history. I think of Jonathan Cahn, who saw patterns in history, and then he says he was given this understanding from God, and then that is why he wrote the book The Harbinger. So we can see the patterns. The patterns are simple. There is to be holy and obedient, or we get consequences. It's pretty simple. There is a question that a lot of people have about what time are we in the end times? Where are we? Are we in the midst of the horsemen of Revelation 6? Oh, I've heard that plenty of times too, that we are in the midst of the horsemen of Revelation 6. And if they are correct, what does that mean we should do? Oh, well, I suppose that it means we should seek God, Jesus, even more than we have. And what I see is that we ought to have a provision for what comes with those horsemen. You know, there's war, there's death, there's lots of bad things. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is talk about what will happen before the end of the age. So we do get an idea of what is coming. However, we have been so protected in America that we cannot hardly imagine a calamity of biblical proportion coming upon us. But the Bible says that there will be hunger or famine and pestilence and wars and rumors of war and more. So, are we going to believe our own understanding, or are we going to understand what the Bible says? Well, I hope you have a firm belief in that. We will follow the Bible. And we do have the conditions around us in the world that cause us to wonder what is going to happen in the short term, and we're not even sure of that. We have had the 100 container ships off the coast of California that have been unable to deliver goods because they couldn't get unloaded fast enough. So, and now there's a new question of a shutdown besides the backlog of container ships off the coast of California. Now there is something going on in China, in the Shanghai area of China, where there are millions of people. Oh boy, this is interesting, because on one site I saw 26 million people were quarantined and not permitted to leave their home. Maybe that's correct, 26 million. But there is also information that says it is more like 100 million people of China and the Shanghai area who are not permitted to leave their homes. And this has been going on for several weeks. The reason I connected that with the container ships is because there is an important port at Shanghai, and so many goods from China are put on ships in Shanghai, and they are sent around the world, and especially to America. So, if there is this great lockdown because of the COVID virus, then it could cause even fewer container ships to reach us in the United States. And if that were to happen, we would not have enough of many things, because many things are shipped on those container ships to the United States. There are things such as tractor tires and every sort of farm supply. And we already are having trouble with the farm supplies. There is problem with having enough feed for the animals. And a few weeks ago, I mentioned how I had gone to a feed store and found that they had just 2 bags of chicken food left. I should say 2 bags of wheat, which is intended for chickens. So it's something that is certainly affecting us right now and could severely affect us in the future if this shutdown from the Shanghai port means that we do not get shipments from America. And could this be a part of the consequences of not obeying God? It is a good question. We are having shortages in many parts of our land. I just mentioned the feed stores, the farm supply stores, the tractor supply stores. Oh, and the grocery stores are having their own troubles. I have talked to various grocery store employees, especially the men who are stocking the shelves and the freezers, and I've talked with them about the availability of foods, and for the last few weeks there has been a discussion, or let me say they have told me that you never know what's going to come in when, and there can be shortages or a lack of various goods that just don't come in. And so that's something that we ought to be aware of, that we are not sure when any sorts of supplies are going to come in. And that includes foods. That includes cans of food or canned meat. Meat is in a short supply. And we have to just figure out what all this means. Another factor in this question is there's a war between Russia and Ukraine right now. And Russia and Ukraine together provide about 25% of the world's wheat, plus beans, to various countries of the world. And with the war going on between Russia and Ukraine, there is a question of if the farms can still produce wheat and beans or other farm goods, because the men are not minding the crops and the tractors do not have enough fuel to do the work on the farms. The fuel is instead going to the war effort. And these things are again leading to a shortage of food. And this, of course, makes me think of us, each one of us, having enough food on hand to last a period of time. The period of time is a great big unknown. Everybody has a different idea of how much food a person or a family ought to have on hand. A few years ago, people thought that a few days or a week of food was adequate. After Hurricane Katrina, I talked to a number of first responders, and they said everybody should have 3 weeks of food and water on hand. Nowadays, there are people who say that it ought to be even more. Why, I have even heard a number of people say that with the anticipated shortages of wheat and other farm commodities, that we ought to have a year or two of food on hand and a good water filter or two. You know, I don't know what to say about that. All I know is I hear these things and I want to pass them on to you to say that there are people who are very concerned, and for what kind of food to have on hand, I will tell you that dehydrated food is just wonderful and great. And if we could afford it, that's what we ought to get. There's dehydrated food. That is good, and it is important to get also. But I know that a lot of us cannot afford to buy these nicer foods. And so we can get just the plain old basics like I do. I get wheat, and I have a wheat grinder, which is very, very important. I have a white rice, and I have a few other legumes, beans, for instance, and lentils and such as that. Now, these are a question of how do we store them. Oh, I know so many people who say, you have to store it right in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers. And sure, that's a good idea. I hope you can do that. And if you can, good for you. But I know for a lot of people, and me too, I can't afford all those things. So I get just the plain basic foods, and I add diatomaceous earth to the grains. And that seems to work just fine, and that prohibits any bug larva in the grains from maturing. And there's always a question of what do you do if you need food? What do you do if you need water? Well, desperate people take desperate measures, and we really ought to be aware that if there is a crisis coming, we need to have something to eat. And the cans of food will not be enough. It's too hard to have that many cans of food to have that many meals. And cans of food need to be rotated also. They get old. But these grains that I'm talking about, they really don't get old. Of course they do. They do get old, but they have a very long shelf life. Some people will say freeze the grains for 2 weeks and that will kill the insects and the larvae that would be in it. every grain has some insect in it. I don't think that anyone can take them out. It's just that you have to kill them or deal with it. That's kind of the best that I think we can do. And, yeah, that's what we do. There are different ways to do it. You have to search out this and understand what you want to do. As I do think of food, I think of our supply of food around the world, how China has been stocking up on all the grains like wheat and rice. And they have, 60% or so of the total world supply of these grains. They have them stored. I'm sure it's for in case there's a war, in case they decide to occupy or invade Taiwan. So that's something that is going on right now. It's something that is a concern and it's a question. So I think this is a good time for each one of us to store up a little food for the just in case. You get to decide what you can afford, how much room you have in your home to have things. But the only way to really examine this question is for you to do it. If you were to listen to what the government said, or what the Red Cross says, or what I say, you would probably not do it. But there are advisors who have ideas about exactly what you ought to be doing. And I hope you look at a few of those advisors. Look at a few of the lists that talk about what everyone should have on hand. It's always for you to look over and determine what you would want. But the lists give you ideas of what to do and how to do it. So I say, yeah, get some lists and look them over. None of this is easy. What, are you going to depend on somebody else to get your food for you? Who? Who will you depend on? Will it be the government, or the Red Cross, or the church? Is that who you are going to call upon if you run out of food? I think the answer, really and truly, is for you to search out the information and then for you to do what is appropriate for you, considering your income, your time, your place of storage, and of course, how much you can afford to buy. Really, these are questions that only each one of us can answer, and we have to do what we understand is prudent, considering what just could be coming to the world. And we do know before the end of the age, the Bible does predict famine. So what are we going to do about avoiding starvation? That's up to each one of us. All I'm doing is trying to tell you that there is a reason to have a storehouse of food, and you have to examine what it is and what you're going to do about it. That's a personal choice, just like it's a personal choice whatever we do, including our relation with Jesus. So many personal choices, but that's something that you get to look at. I know one of the things I think about that war between Russia and Ukraine is the number of Ukrainians that are fleeing the country. And now there are thousands of hungry Ukrainian people, well, not just Ukrainian, lots of hungry people who want to take advantage of our programs in the United States. They are waiting at our southern border to cross into the United States. Yes, there are all sorts of Americans, Central, South Americans, and now there are thousands of Ukrainians gathered at our southern border waiting to get into our country so that they can have a share of our riches. Well, sharing our riches is good, but we do have to consider that at some point we very well may run out of what we need or what they want. After all, we all live in these days, and we all see the conditions that are going on, and we all have to decide what our choices are going to be and be prepared for the consequences of our choices. I mean, that's only natural. That's been going on ever since the beginning of time. Choices and consequences. And that applies to food, that applies to our salvation, that applies to our friendships and relations with other people around us. It's just the way it is. And we do have to look at what the promises of the Bible are. Oh, sure, there's hope. And, let's see, there's Jeremiah 29:11 that talks about God has thoughts toward you to give you a future and a hope. Oh, yes, that is so true. But there are other things that are going on also. There are warnings. Oh, let's see, Ezekiel 14:13. When a land sins against God by persistent unfaithfulness, God will set his hand against that land and will cut off the supply of bread. God will send famine on that land and cut off man and beast from it. So, there are two different sides of the Bible. Certainly God loves us, and he has a plan for our life. And yet there are things that if we are not in the godly area, then what are we? We're the opposite. And there will be persistent unfaithfulness. And I just read to you what Ezekiel said, God said about that, Ezekiel 14:13, that God will bring a famine upon the land and cut off both man and animal. So, is that going on around us? Oh, just have a look. I'd say it is. Yes, it is going on around us. And who knows what will actually happen and when it will happen? Because even if we know the future, we do not know when it will happen. We know the future by the Bible. The Bible tells us what's going to happen, but even so, we do not know when. And that is another reason to have a warehouse, a storehouse of food, where we can last a little while longer in case our food supply gets cut off. Now, there's all sorts of things that we can do to help people, and we do that from our abundance. You know that. We have been blessed with abundance. And when we have food or money or warm clothes, if we have enough, we share our food and warm clothes with other people. That's a part of how we have done things in the past. And I expect the United States people to continue in their generosity. But we do need to have an excess to do that. If we are starving, hungry, and cold, it's pretty hard to give up your coat and your extra rice and beans. There's just things that we need to be prepared for as we consider how to protect and preserve ourselves. And that was always a question. In the ancient days, it was the same kind of a question. And there were enemies around. But we want to remember to be generous and kind to the people around us and even to the missionaries in the field. And we do something, and we have a little extra so that we can provide extra to other people. That's a prudent way of looking at how things work. There are plenty of people who have that frame of mind to share what they have. And there are also plenty of people who don't have enough. They have nothing to share and are just barely getting by and surviving. So we have all this to examine our position in life and what we are going to do. I do think of those people who want to transform our world and have it be a good, kind, and generous world? Well, of course, I think we all want that. We all seek that kind of a compassion with other people. But if we have nothing extra, we have very little that we're able to give people. So let's just consider what we are going to do to be productive and have extra that we can share. Because there are all sorts of people in this world. There's the people who want to share, and there's the people who want to take. And I sure don't know what the whole picture of it is. But I know we have to be careful of the people who want to take from us. That's just obvious. I know one of the things that I have seen in the ministry efforts that I have done or been a part of is I have run across ex-convicts who, before they were saved, they were just completely uncaring about any other person. All they wanted was their own needs to be met. And often that had to do, oh sure, with eating, but more likely with drugs and alcohol. And then I met people who really didn't even care if they shot you or not, or anyone. That was just what happened if you didn't give them what they needed. So that's a part of this world also. And we must be aware that there are compassionate people and there are dangerous people in this world. And a part of what we must do is be aware of that and protect ourselves. I think we do that by being a community. I think that's probably the most important thing that we can do is to be a community and help each other. As a Christian community, how would I know what your needs are for that? But this is a part of what we do, even a part of church services. When we need know people and we consider their needs and we pray for them as we remember them throughout the week, from week to week. We hear about things and we remember people in prayer. Oh, yes, let's do that about each other. Even the people who listen to the radio broadcasts. Let us pray for each other. That's a wonderful thing to do. I look at what's going on, though, with food and supplies and how we could all be in great need in a very short period of time. When I think of the grocery stores that have 4 to 5 days of food in a grocery store, yes, it's all that food, but look at all the people that go shopping in a grocery store. If you divide it up, it's not that much food. And as I said, the statistic says 4 to 5 days of food in a grocery store. And what what kind of food do you want? Do you want water chestnuts to eat? Or do you want spaghetti? Or do you want, you just take your guess. It's anything. It's things that we don't want, that we would eat if we were starving. But the point is we have a limited food supply, and that is yet another reason to have a storehouse of food. I think of, the people who work in the grocery stores and how they say there are shortages of the goods and they move things around on the shelves to make the shelves look full. But really, they never know what food is going to be available. Speaking about not knowing what food is available, it was a week ago, I listened to a report it was by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That was the report. They generated the report. And it was about United States farmers. How farmers always have a holdover of wheat. And that holdover is what they keep from year to year to use as seed to plant the next year's crop of corn, of crop of wheat. So, well, it would be for corn too, but this report was about wheat. Sure, it's many tons of wheat that our farmers keep, but it is barely enough. Well, actually, it wasn't quite enough to plant the next crop year. They didn't have quite enough wheat. When you look at the metric tons of wheat that they had, to make sure that they could plant next year's crop. And it just made me think, if there was a bad year and they didn't get enough wheat to harvest for the next holdover of wheat so that they could plant another year's crop, well, then we would be in a severe grain shortage. That's the kind of precariousness that our grain supply is in this country and around the world. We are having shortages. And of course, we look at Ukraine and Russia because they provide about 25% of the world's supply of wheat. And with that war going on, there are shortages that are just so plain and obvious. For instance, shortages of people to work. There are shortages of diesel to run the tractors. There are shortages of the transportation of wheat. And if you didn't hear, I mentioned it, about the grain shipments, ships that carry grain away from Ukraine had been shot by what I understand was a missile. And so they had to get that repaired before they could continue on their sea voyage away from Ukraine. My whole point is that with Ukraine and Russia providing at least 25% of the world's grain and wheat supply, that there could be a problem with providing wheat to the world. And what would we do if there was starvation? It certainly is a great big question. Again, this is why I suggest a storehouse of food. And I like grains because grains are so very lasting and they are relatively economical. So, by all means, consider that. Whatever we do, we have to have a plan, and we have to have knowledge to make a plan. If you were just going to get a list and say, I'm going to buy this and buy that, well, sure, that would work. But it's always better if you have a personal engagement in that plan and have the things that you want. I mean, maybe you like a peanut butter. Maybe you like brown sugar or white sugar. Maybe you like honey instead. All these things are preferences that we get to decide and we get to have in our storehouse for what we personally like. Questions, questions, questions. And the only way you really get them answered is if you study the matter and see what kind of, for instance, water filter you want. How much water do you want to need? Where are you going to get your water from anyway, by the way, if the system goes down? And we know that there is cyber warfare that is planned, both against this country and this country against other countries. There are communications and interruptions that are done for the military of various countries and of civilian phone services. What if our internet goes down? What if our cell phone service goes down? There are always questions, and we never know when something is going to happen, just like we don't know or didn't know when the 9/11 event happened. It happened and hit us very fast and very hard. There can always be another surprise event just like that. And so we get to seek out what the answers are and how we overcome it. After all, we are overcomers. But we do rely on several systems, our systems of supply of food. We rely on our money system to continue on, and yet look at the inflation that's going on. It's because the Federal Reserve, and through the Treasury, has printed so many dollar bills. Actually, they don't even have to print them. They just give people credits, or banks credits, where the banks get millions or billions of dollars for their use and distribution. It's always a reason so why we could see our system completely collapse. It's a historical modern, a historical model that countries collapse when there's too much money created. And we have done that. We are still doing it. And we have to be careful that we don't know what's coming. We just don't know. But we can see that it could get pretty serious, and therefore we want to have some provisions about what we would do if some certain troubles happened to our nation. Hey, I thought of a joke. A friend and I were talking, and he asked me, what was I going to do after the fall? And it took me a minute to realize that he was talking about the fall season of the year and not the fall of civilization. I guess that would be a joke, the kind that I would laugh at. Anyway, I did laugh. But we do have things that are going on in our world. We know that some are predicted by the Bible, wars and rumors of wars, famine and pestilence. Those are predictable because the Bible says they will happen. But the things that we're unsure of that just may also happen are, for instance, our electrical grid could fail. There could be an ICBM strike, intercontinental ballistic missile that strikes our country. There could be suitcase nukes that are put on in various places that cause disaster or at least confusion. There's lots of things which we are vulnerable to, and we have to know that bad things happen even to good people, and this is yet another reason why we want to have preparedness steps. And we hope that this kind of a big threat to us does not make us have to start from zero again as a people, as a culture, as a nation. And if you just think of another point of view, is that now is an Easter time of year that talks about having a fresh start with, let's just say, Easter chickens. They're soft and they're unprotected, and those are things that we think of as a new fresh start, a fresh start of life. And that can be with the flowers that are also around at Easter time. So are we going to have a fresh start of a new civilization, of a collapsed economy and culture? I mean, these things really can happen. They have happened all over the world in the past. And it's not a surprise when they happen. It is only a surprise when they happen to us. So let's just take a few steps towards what we would do if such a thing happened to us. Take preparation measures while we can before an event actually happens. There are plenty of people and professionals, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, professional people who say that we're going to have a collapse this year, by the way, and it will turn into a recession, or some people say a depression. So it strikes me as a good time to do those preparedness steps for the just in case, or in case there was another epidemic, another COVID problem going around, and what if we had to be locked in our home like there are millions of Japanese people, million of Chinese people who are being locked in their homes in the Shanghai area. Millions, they can't come out, or they will be threatened with having to be go to a camp. So all these things are possibilities for each of us, and we all want to do something to protect ourselves and our family, our loved ones. That's what we want to do. And if we have some supplies, it will give us a little time to adjust to the new situation before we have to seek out new ways to get food or water. All right, so you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you might want to listen to some of the past broadcasts. They are interesting. Some of them are. And if you do, you can go to www.christtoday.org, and they are listed there. But do remember to pray for one another, and I wish that you will be able to walk with God and that God will walk with you. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live inside your glory, glory now. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live my life inside your glory, glory now. Father, how you love me. Give me shelter and cover me with your mercy. You are moving all around us. We are kneeling, desperately seeking.